going back to where we started today, I asked you to ponder the question, what do you believe? How many of you have been thinking about that since I asked it? It probably even slipped many of our minds, right? Can somebody give one answer to that question? What do you believe? Jen believes that Jesus died on the cross for her. What a wonderful knowledge that is to hang on to from the moment we realize that until we finally take our last breath. It guides us. It sustains us all through life when that's our belief, right? Yeah. What else do you believe? That His Word is true? Yes. That is a conviction that we need to have in our lives, that this is true. It gives a true account of what has happened. It contains words of truth that affect our world and that we are meant to live by. So the fact that you believe His Word is true is going to lead you to a place of putting that belief in action. I think somebody else had said something too. Kathy. He is an awesome God, isn't He? Yeah. When we begin to give some time and attention to what we believe, it makes a difference. I wanted to illustrate something here today. I believe I can do this. I've always loved throwing the frisbee with friends and family and that kind of thing. Now with some of our grandchildren, teaching them to throw the frisbee. When my friend and I used to do it, we used to see how far we could stand apart and throw frisbee. I don't throw it as much anymore. I've had some issues with shoulder and whatnot, but I have thrown a frisbee before. I believe if I throw the frisbee, I can make it past the driveway here and maybe halfway from that grass area on the other side to where the parking lot line would stop there. I believe I can do that. Halfway between the driveway and where the parking lot ends. And I just have to say, Mark, I'm so grateful that you parked your car as far over as you did, because I wondered if I believed I could throw it without hitting your car. I believe I can, but I do believe that I can make it beyond the driveway and halfway to the end of the parking lot. Larry doesn't believe me, but you think I can make it to the cornfield? Well, if I throw this way? Oh, this way. Well, let's see how well my belief turns out. Oh, the tree! And it still made it through. Now, if somebody wants to get it, I will try again. I don't know when the last time I threw a frisbee trying to throw that far. I've tossed it around back and forth 10, 15 feet back here. I wondered about that. I wondered if the tree was going to interfere with what I believed I could do. Sometimes there are those obstacles in life. When you say you believe something, life begins to come in and challenge what you believe. Okay. You want to throw it?
No.
Okay. So let's see. I may have to start a little bit further this way. Oh, it's going to go to the cornfield after all. Almost. Well, I don't know if that qualifies, but we'll say it does. I also believed at one time, it was around 9 years ago, we believed, Karen and I, that God was calling us to Africa. I had a belief even prior to that, that God was calling me into ministry. And when we got to this place 9 years ago of having spent some time at the orphanage in Lesotho, South Africa, I believe God was calling us to serve there. And beyond that, I believed at one point God was telling me, stop talking about going and go. And so we, at one point, following that belief, said, we're leaving on this date because we believe he's called us to go. And God made everything happen so that by that date, everything was set and we were able to go. What I believe always has to be put into action someplace. Now, Larry would have been terribly disappointed if I said I could throw it halfway over there and then just set the frisbee back down on the keyboard here and didn't do anything. And people make those kinds of claims from time to time. I believe I can do this, or I believe in that. And then there's no real evidence of what they believe because they haven't followed through with what they've said. And so I had that opportunity to give you this physical representation of what I believe, but I also wanted to tell you about the depth of that. So we act those things out in practical life, but we would work those things out in our spiritual life as well. When we say we believe the word is truth, that makes a difference in how we're going to live. Same as what Jen was saying, if you believe he's died for your sins, there is an action and a response to that. And we're going to talk about one of the other things that Jesus says. He says it in his word, and we believe it to be true, as Marian was stating. Jesus is going to say that himself. I'm going to be reading today from John's Gospel again, looking at these seven I Am's, Jesus making statements about who he is. That gives us a greater understanding to then decide, and that's what Jesus is trying to bring his hearers to. If you believe what I'm saying, there is a response to that. So we're going to be looking at this sixth of the seven I Am's from John 14, starting at verse 1 there. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say to me, show us the Father? Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells within me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." What do you believe? Many of us that have grown up, or hopefully all of us that have grown up in the Christian faith in Christian influence, believe what Jesus said. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. We believe that there is no other way of salvation. That is our clear testimony. He is not one of the possible ways that you could have eternal life. He is the only way. That's what distinguishes us from every other Christian calling religion and every false religion as well, where we believe there is only one way. We believe that He is the truth. As Marian was saying, He is the one who gives us and is truth Himself. What He says is absolutely true. What He desires for us is absolutely true. His plan for us is a true plan. And He said, I am the life. We looked at that last week, where He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the one that brings you to this out of darkness into the light. I'm the one that brings you from being dead into life. So He's not only the one that resurrects us, but the one who instills true life within us. When He was talking about that, as we talked about that last time, that's the question that we ended with. When He said, I am the resurrection and the life, do you believe this? And we would all hopefully give evidence that we believe that He is the resurrection and the life. Life now and life for all eternity. We believe those things. How does that belief change the way you live your life? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Jesus said, I am the way. That has been being built up throughout Scripture for a long time, going all the way back, and it's found all throughout the Old Testament. From the books of Moses to the writings of the Psalms to the prophets, all of them speak about the way. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 5. You shall be careful, therefore. This is Deuteronomy 5 is the time where God is giving through Moses the second giving of the law. A reiteration to the people of Israel that are going to enter into the promised land now. He says, you shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. You shall walk in the way that the Lord your God will show you. It's what He has commanded His people. God has been saying that to His people since the very beginning. The Psalms, Psalm 1 starts out with that idea of making sure that we are following the way. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1 at verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is on the law, and on it he meditates day and night. And then jumping down to verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There is a difference between which way we travel through life that brings us to life. And the psalmist there, speaking of that, David says that again in Psalm 27. Now, this is one of those things where when you believe something, it brings you to this place of action. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If you believe He is your light and your salvation, why would you be afraid? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then jumping down to verse 11 of Psalm 27, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. There has always been a way for us to follow. Isaiah says it. We're just starting in Isaiah in our reading through Scripture right now, and getting to this place where Isaiah brings both a judgment on the people as well as great hope for them. And here at Isaiah 35, there's that hope that is being brought to the people. Isaiah 35 at verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall be reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over. It shall belong to those who walk in the way. There is this path that is constantly being laid out from the beginning of God's time with His people and developing a people for Himself as He continues to speak to them through different ways. He lays out a way for us. John, the gospel writer that we were just reading from, he speaks of it later as he writes his first epistle, the 1 John. 1 John 2, verse 6 is a very affirming verse for us to always keep in mind. Whoever says he abides in Him, in Jesus, if you say you remain in Jesus, you ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. All of this leads us to where Jesus says, I am the way. If you're looking for the Father, if you're looking to get to the Father, know the Father, Jesus said, I am the way. And He says, I am the truth. Not only is He the way in which we should travel, He is the truth. He is the fullness of what is true. When they're asking about the Father and seeing the Father, Jesus said, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. He is the true representation of who the Father is. He is, in that sense, the one who, in that understanding of true, would be connected to being faithful to what is true. Revelation speaks of it both at the beginning and the end. And this is what it says at Revelation 19:11. Then I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it is called faithful and true. It's the way John opened up the letters to the seven churches, announcing through Jesus, saying that he is the faithful and true one. It's a fulfillment then of what Jeremiah was saying back in his day, when he said, then they said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act according to all the word with which the Lord your God sends you to us. May He be faithful and true if we don't act the way we ought to act. Jesus is always going to be faithful. He's always going to be true. And He calls us into that life of faithfulness and truthfulness as well. Jesus, in that representation of what it means when He says, I am the truth, also carries with it this understanding that He is a true disciple. You know, if Jesus is going to be the way, He has to model everything that we need to know and everything that we are meant to do. And so Jesus models for His followers what it means to be a true disciple. Going back in John's Gospel to chapter 5, at verse 19, Jesus says to them, truly, truly, appropriate. It's a reiteration that this is absolutely true. when you hear that truly, truly, that we've grown up with, what the King James Version, verily, verily, it's the same root word in the Hebrew or in the Greek, but he's saying this is true, absolutely true. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he is doing. That's what Jesus was doing with his disciples. Modeling what he wanted them to do. Showing them truth and the true path in which they should walk. And he did that in that perfect model of being a disciple of his Father, if you will. If he's calling people to be disciples, he has to model that perfectly. He calls us into being baptized into his name, coming under the full authority, being immersed in him as he modeled baptism for us as well, as he came under the full authority of his Father and the Spirit, immersed himself in the will of the Father. And that John 5:20 finishes this way. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. Jesus is going to be the true disciple for his Father, teaching truth to his disciples so that they may marvel at the things that Jesus is doing. Those are the responses that people were having all along in Jesus' ministry. They just marveled at what he was doing. Nobody has opened the eyes of a man born blind. Who could forgive sins but God alone? Nobody has ever done these things, would be the repeated reply of people's response to seeing what Jesus was doing. Jesus shows the true and faithful way to be in a full relationship with his Father. You and I don't get to pick the way or the truth we want to have. He provides both of those. If you're looking to experience life, you have to follow the way that Jesus provides. You have to live out the truth that Jesus speaks and do it faithfully. And in truth, we worship, Jesus said. There will be a time coming where his worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. We do those things because we believe they are absolutely true, and we are convicted by that so that it produces a response in us. I am the way, Jesus said. I am the truth. And I am the life. We saw that. We talked about that last week when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And actually, he's been saying that he is the life in every instance of everything that he's been talking about, the way John has revealed that to us in his gospel. Everything that Jesus is doing is about life. All of it is. And so he says, I am the life. The gospel of John starts out with that proclamation, not only of who he is, because that's what he's doing here now. When he keeps saying, I am this and I am that, he is making the absolute claim that he is God. He is equal to his Father. That's why the Jews and the religious leaders hated him so much, because they believed he was making himself out to be God. And they didn't like that. But everything that he's doing is to get them to this place of belief. And by believing, there's life in that. The gospel opens with these words. In the beginning was the Word. Speaking of Jesus, we know that. And the Word was with God. They were in relationship together at the beginning. And the Word was God. He has that equal standing with him. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that has been made. In him was life. And life was the light of men. Jesus has been trying to reiterate that constantly in this gospel account, that he is the life. At the beginning of the gospel, we read that he is life, and he was the life was the light of men. At the end of the gospel, he says this, John 20:31, a key verse. I'm realizing more and more there's a lot of key verses in John's gospel, but this one is one of those ones that we have to understand about it. It says, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Everything that Jesus is talking about, everything that's being recorded here in John's gospel, is for the purpose of anyone that would hear the words and respond to that would have life. We left off in our reading. At verse 11, we read through verse 11 of John 14. Jesus is talking about being the way and being the truth and being the life. And then he goes on with this: "Truly, truly, I say to you." Right on the heels of saying who he is, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." And see if this sounds familiar. "And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." You remember in chapter 5, it was talking about Jesus modeling that true disciple. And he said, "I do the things that the Father gives me to do, and he will do greater things so that you will marvel at them." That same idea is being passed down now to his disciples, to Jesus' disciples, the ones that would follow after him. The one who followed in the footsteps of his Father, and his Father assured him that you will do greater things than what the Father had been doing. Now Jesus said, "You're going to be doing greater things than what I did." I like to think of that as we picture the greater things. We often wonder what that means, and I think there are different levels in which we can understand that. We've wondered, how can we do greater things than Jesus? But that's the exact same thing that was said of Jesus, of his Father. Jesus sees the Father working and doing his will, and Jesus will do greater things than that. Does that mean that Jesus is more powerful than his Father? No. Does it mean that the Father is limited, so the Son has to carry on because the Father can't get those things accomplished? No. And so when he says, "You're going to do greater things than what Jesus did," is that because Jesus was limited in what he could do? Does it mean he didn't have the power to do it, and somehow now you have more power than he did? No. I want you to think of maybe a child with a stack of blocks, and he get them all out, and there with his parents, one of them sitting on the floor with this pile of blocks, and they're both kind of working on it. Maybe as I'm there with my grandson, I'm putting some of the foundation down there so it's a good stable block structure to build on, and I begin to build it up a little bit. And then I allow for my grandchild to continue to do that same thing. And you know what the child's going to do? Greater things. Keep building on it. It's going to keep piling up, and more is going to happen. More is going to be revealed. It's going to become a greater structure. As the Father was working and showing what He was doing to His Son, He said, Jesus made that declaration, I'm going to be doing greater things than my Father. I'm going to keep building on what He's done. And you, as my followers, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to engage in the work that is being done. And that's what He was talking about. You're going to be doing these things. We have that opportunity to do the things that Jesus has been doing. It's actually what He calls us to do. All of this fits together. And that's where I was saying earlier at the beginning of our time, I just love the beauty of Scripture and how it all ties together so well. Do you know what was being said? The story, the conversations, the scene just before we started John 14, verse 1. You know what came before that? It was John 13, you're right. But listen to what was being said just before John records these words of Jesus in verse 14, chapter 14. At the end of chapter 13, Peter asks Jesus a question. Lord, where are you going? You know why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Because one of His disciples asked Him a question. Where are you going? Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot follow Me now, but you will follow afterwards. Peter said to Him, Lord, why can I not follow You now? I will lay down my life for You. Jesus, as the wonderful Master that He is, answers Peter with a question. Will you lay down your life for Me? Are you going to do that, Peter? The sad news that was probably troubling Peter's heart was that Jesus said, you will follow later. And posing that question, will you lay down your life for Me? Jesus then told Peter the truth. Before the rooster crows, you're actually going to deny Me 3 times. There is this understanding that Jesus is trying to get His disciples to see that He is asking something of them. Much like He just asked Peter, will you lay down your life for Me? Would you do that? Jesus would say later on in John's Gospel, greater love has no man than this, that he would actually lay down his life for his friends. Luke, in his gospel account, picking up where Jesus speaks to Peter about that question, Jesus said, and he said to all, everybody that was listening, this is what Jesus said. If anyone would come after Me, if anybody wants to follow Me, if anyone wants to be My disciple, if you are aligning yourself with Me, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Mark records it this way. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for My sake and the gospel will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. There's something about what Jesus is saying that is far deeper than maybe we often consider. When he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, we all believe that. But as I said, I believe I could do that. It was meaningless unless I did it. Maybe it's a good thing that I failed at it the first time too, because Peter was going to fail in his true conviction and belief of who Jesus was. And he said, I will lay down my life for you. And then he failed miserably. But his Lord restored him and got him back on course again, put him back in the way, in the true way of living, that he might have true life. To have life, real life, because again, you're all alive, but to have true life, for anyone to have life, to know the way of true life, you have to come to believe in what Jesus has been saying. But that belief system is an active one. What does it mean to believe? It isn't just knowing what Jesus says. Believing isn't just knowing. There are lots of people, even the enemy and his demons, believe what has been said. It's not even just agreeing with what you have heard. I agree that that's true. There's still something deeper and more that Jesus is looking from us, this place of response. It's always what Jesus is looking for in us, is this response to the invitation to life. Believing is this place where we give personal evidence of what we hold to be our conviction, our beliefs, what is true, by actually putting it into practice. That's the way that Jesus would have us walk in. It is the true way that he would have us walk, and it's the way to true life, only through him. And it's always in responding to what he has said. Let's pray. Father, as we hear the words of your Son, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Master, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There was this response that was expected of the disciples who first heard those words, to continue to do the things that Jesus was doing, that he left for us to do, to carry on the work, to keep building on the things, the foundation of Christ himself. Knowing that even now, 2,000 years later, we are in this place of giving evidence that we believe these words to be true. It was said here. I imagine, Father, if I pressed all of us on that, do we believe these things? We would certainly believe that what has been written is true. We would believe in the sense of agreeing with the words, that they are absolutely true. I agree that Jesus is the way. I agree that Jesus is the truth. I agree that Jesus is the life. And so, Father, I'm praying again as I feel the wind on my face and recognizing the Spirit's work among us, that we would also come every day to this place of believing, agreeing, and putting into practice all that we believe, all that we know to be true, the life we are meant to live. And so, Father, help us in that respect. Help us to live out what you called your disciples to do, to take up our cross daily after denying our own selves and living the life that you would have us live. That is certainly, Father, an all-in kind of lifestyle where we deny the life that we would try to make for ourselves and would seek after the life that is in Christ, true life, the only way to true life being in Christ Jesus Himself. So, Father, show me what that means today and tomorrow and for every day that you grant me to be a follower of your Son, Jesus Christ. May that be true of us, that we also learn more and more, whether we are at the beginning of a race or nearing the end of it, whether we have stumbled in the past and been picked back up, or we are in the middle of stumbling now, or it is possible, Father, that even going forward, because of that nature that still resides in us, we may stumble again. And so we pray that even then you would restore us as you restored that bold and brash Peter, who was willing to lay down his life and then chickened out. And yet he turned out to be such a powerful witness for your name. We pray, Father, not to make us like Peter, but to make us like Jesus, who did everything in your name, who followed your will perfectly, who would continue to show us the way and model that for us. And so, Father, work in us, work through us, because you have something that you are continuing to build on, and we get to add to that greater things, more of those same types of works that would build an expanding greater kingdom, all for the sake of Jesus, the one who saved us, redeems us, sanctifies us, and purifies us, and receives us into real lasting life. So Holy Spirit, knit these words deep within the fabric of our being so that they produce in us the fruit that you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen.